Support comes from Catholic Charities. Driven by the message of love your neighbor, Catholic Charities is focused on improving lives in Maryland. Give the gift of love during this holiday season and learn more at cc-md.org/love.
All of a sudden, our life like exploded with all these amazing people. And I remember thinking at one point, I feel like I've gotten some key to some secret level of life where all the amazing people are.
I want to tell you guys about a very special little man who has changed my life in ways that I never thought were possible. My son, Hayden.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back to the Stoop Storytelling Series podcast. I'm Jessica Hankin.
And I'm Laura Wexler.
And this week, PhD in parenting. In honor of Mother's Day, we have two stories about moms who get a first-class education from their sons about disabilities.
Free education, I might add, as we all do.
Free appropriate public education, unless the school system cannot provide for it, in which case they're legally obligated.
I was saying the moms are getting a free education. The free education that will cost you more than you ever imagined.
Oh, yes, I see. Okay, anyway, I just pivoted into my special education role there. Okay, so this first storyteller, Rebecca Fielding, shared this story at a fundraiser that we did recently at the Maryland School for the Blind. Such a beautiful story. Take a listen.
So when my son was born, he suffered from a lack of oxygen and was diagnosed with what's called hypoxic ischemic encephalopathy. And so what this meant for him was that the first few weeks of his life were very scary for the whole family because it was spent trying to get the seizures under control. And trying to get the seizures under control enough so that the doctors could take an MRI and see just how extensive the brain injury was. So when Enzo was about 21 days old, we got taken into that dreaded little room, and the doctors told us that, unfortunately, the brain injury was very extensive, and that Enzo would grow up to most definitely have quadriplegic cerebral palsy, and which means that he would never walk or talk. So probably spent maybe days, weeks, convincing myself that they had the wrong baby, the MRI was wrong. Certainly this couldn't be true. And in those early days, for me, it was like hope was linked to outcome. Like, as long as the doctors were wrong, then it would be okay. But I did also have this memory of when I was 16, I went with my parents, we went out west to go to like bunch of the national parks. And it's funny because I don't really remember so much about the parks, but I do remember we visited my mom's cousin, and he was a woodworker, and they lived in this really adorable, quaint cabin in Colorado, and they had 9 kids, and one of their daughters had quadriplegic cerebral palsy. And like I said, I don't really remember much about the trip, but I remember being in that house and the details of the adorable cabin, and I remember that they pureed the dinner that we were eating, and they fed it to her. And I remember after the dinner, her dad scooped her up, and they just had this really sweet, warm moment. And I just remember how peaceful that room was and being with that family. So I sort of clung to that memory early on, thinking, okay, well, maybe if the doctors are right, maybe one day we could find that same sort of peace. So Enzo started to grow up, and it became clear that, yes, the doctors seemed like they were right, because, of course, he's not hitting his developmental milestones. But what I also started noticing is that we had, like, the most incredible people coming into our life. Like, we had, like, 7 pediatric, you know, specialists. We had speech therapists, occupational therapists, aqua therapists. We have nurses, nannies. I mean, just this, all of a sudden, our life, like, exploded with all these amazing people. And I remember thinking at one point, I feel like I've gotten some key to some secret level of life where all the amazing people are. Like, this is incredible. And I had never been exposed to this world before. I was a liberal arts degree in college, and then I joined the Peace Corps, and then I worked for an international public health, women's public health organization, and I was working on my master's of public health at the time, but I scratched that to get a PhD in parenting instead. But at the same time, it almost kind of felt like I was in the Peace Corps again, because I'm sitting here and it felt like I was in a foreign land. I'm all alone, and I most definitely did not speak the language. And I really relied on all those people. I mean, they were helping Enzo, but they were really helping me as well. And so I started to realize that my role as a mom was really to build and maintain this network. That was my job, sort of help to build this infrastructure around him. So I was sort of the head of recruitment, but Enzo is the head of retention. And I don't know, many of you may already know Enzo, but he has this incredible magnetic personality and this huge smile. And he is a lovely, lovely boy. And he's a flirt. And he has actually gotten himself a reputation over at the pediatric unit of Sinai Hospital for how much he flirts with the nurses. And the past two times he even went to the hospital, he like made this miraculous turnaround as soon as he was admitted. And even the nurses, they were all joking. They were like, I think he just came to visit us again. It had been a while. So, you know, I still, though, you know, when those early days, it was like grieving the child that I thought I was going to have, but it was really grieving the life that I thought he would have. And I just was so, it just felt so unfair. Like he just got totally cheated right out of the gate. And I just couldn't come to terms with it. And I had this moment a couple summers ago where I was sitting outside with him, and it was a rare moment because it was a quiet moment because his two rambunctious little brothers were out of town, and it was just him and I, and it was this beautiful summer day, and we're sitting outside. And for hours, just quiet and enjoying the birds. And Enzo's favorite thing to do is sit outside in the morning and just listen to the birds. And sometimes he'll nap. And I had this moment where I looked at him and he looked at me and we locked eyes. And it was like, and we held the gaze for a while. And it was like he was saying, see, this is where it's at, right here. It's like I had entered into his world. And it was then that I realized, I was like, this is his life all the time. He's living in the present moment, and he's enjoying the present moment, probably more than any of us do. And so I think that, so Enzo's about to turn 14 in just a couple weeks. And sometimes I would think, okay, what would I say to that young, devastated first-time mother, if I could go back and I could tell her something. And I would tell her that, yeah, it's true that Enzo, maybe his disability will sort of rob him of his ability to walk or talk, but it's not going to rob him of his ability to make connections with others, and it's not going to rob him of the ability to live in the present and really enjoy this life. And then isn't that what we're all striving to do with our mindfulness meditation and our exercise and our creative endeavors and our cold plunges and all these things that we do to try to stay in the moment? He's living that. So he has this incredible quality of life. And the other thing I would tell her is that, as I would reassure her that somehow the perfect people would always arrive at the perfect time to help with whatever hardship she was going to face, and that this would happen unfailingly. And thirdly, I would say that, yeah, this is not an easy road, and there's a lot of pain and there's a lot of grief, but through all that pain and through all that grief, there's incredible intensity of joy and beauty, and that ultimately all of this would get transformed into a really beautiful love story. Thank you.
I love the way she described kind of the shock and the integration of getting the information about her son, and then at some point reaching back for this memory of peace that occurred between a parent and a child with similar challenges, and letting that be a guiding star. And I think that's so authentic to how we get through things, you know?
Yeah. Oh, gosh, yeah. I also loved how she was like, oh, this is where all the great people are. You know, the providers that she came to know and who had her back along the way. Yeah, great story. Thank you, Rebecca. So we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back with another Stoop story. So this next story was shared many years ago in the early days of the stoop. So many years ago, in fact, that the way that we came to be connected with this storyteller is that I was at the time teaching her son, Hayden, and he is now in his second year of college, I want to say.
You old, baby. You old.
Very old. Very old. I'm wearing it like a champ.
Yes.
So please take a listen to Helen Schaefer's story.
I want to tell you guys about a very special little man who has changed my life in ways that I never thought were possible. My son, Hayden. Hayden is 4.5 years old, and I actually have his picture up here with me. But he is absolutely adorable. I say this with absolutely no prejudice whatsoever. And one of his favorite foods is popcorn. He likes to come down and ask his dad, you know, can I have popcorn, please? Let's make popcorn. And while the request isn't all that unusual, the fact that he does it at 7 o'clock in the morning is. But Hayden is autistic. He was diagnosed when he was about 2 years old, and I can tell you when we heard the diagnosis, it was like having my heart ripped out. All the dreams as parents we have for our children, what they're going to be like, what they're going to do, for me, those dreams at that moment, hearing the word autism felt like they drifted away. I was really devastated. But that started my family on what has ended up being a really amazing journey. I'm not sure that I really believed the diagnosis when we first got it, but I knew that Hayden needed help. And I didn't know anything about autism. And there was nobody out there to really help or guide me. No physician to tell me what to do. No magic cure. So I had to learn. And I ended up becoming Hayden's case manager, which was a job at that point I was completely not qualified for. But I learned. I had to. I had Hayden. I had my little guy. So I learned that autism is a developmental disability that affects communication, social skills, and behavior. I learned about different treatments and different therapies, and we picked a course to start Hayden on his progress. So I started to go to speech and language therapy with Hayden and started to learn how I could help him by playing with him in many different ways. And then we started meeting lots and lots of wonderful people and got him into a really good program. And I started to have hope for Hayden and his future, that autism didn't have to define who he was or who he was going to be, which was a humongous deal. Now, around that time, and doing all the research, I really started getting a good understanding that there are not a lot of options. There are not a lot of opportunities for children with special needs. And I remember sitting at the kitchen table with my husband, PJ, and we were talking about where Hayden was going to go to school. He had just turned 3 in the summer, and he was going to start school in the fall. And we had plans. We had plans A through F. So if A worked, that was great. If it didn't work, then there was B. And if B didn't work, then we had C and D and combinations of everything. And it occurred to me, sitting talking to PJ, you know, what are we doing? None of these programs are really what we want for our son. And you know, I told him it wasn't fair. We have a daughter, an older daughter, who is typically developing, and she's got all these great opportunities. But my son, who I think is equally wonderful and beautiful to me, didn't have anything. So I looked at PJ in the eye, and I said, I'm going to start a school for him. And my husband, whom I adore, looked at me across the table and said, dear, I love you, and you're crazy. Now, while I may be crazy, I couldn't let the idea go. For me, some of my dreams for Hayden really started to be about his opportunity and how his life was going to be later in life. You know, what chances he was going to be able to have and what choices he was going to be able to make for himself. It didn't matter and still doesn't matter to me if he goes to college. I want him to be able to make that choice. I want him to be able to have the chance to live by himself. Most importantly, I want him to have the chance to have friends, kiss girls, and, you know, just be happy.
just what any parent wants. So I told PJ, I was like, look, if I don't try to do this, I will regret it for the rest of my life. PJ was worried. He was very concerned because where were we going to find the time to do this? Or where was I going to find the time to do this? I run my family's business, and we didn't have time to go out to dinner together, let alone now I wanted to start a school. But he understood who I was doing this for, and that made it okay. So I started my side project and founded the Schaefer Center for Early Intervention. The mission was, to me, simple. We were going to provide classes and treatment and opportunity for children on the autism spectrum to help them maximize their potential. Simple mission. Very complicated to do. So with Hayden in mind, I went out with my million things of now what to do, finding a place, finding staff, finding the best staff, because my son was going to be in this program, getting licensed, picking curriculum, and, you know, just trying to put together what I thought would be the best opportunity, not just for my son, but for hopefully a lot of his little friends. So we found amazing staff, whom I will be forever grateful for, and right after Hayden's fourth birthday this past August, we opened the Schaefer Center for Early Intervention. We started with... Thank you. Thank you. We started with three kids. We now have 12. And I can tell you, they are the most wonderfully amazing children you've ever met in your life. They are all making tremendous progress, including Hayden. And one of the things that has been so fun to watch throughout this process is how much they can do. So I told my staff that the holidays this year were coming up, and I said, we are going to put on a holiday musical. Now, my staff was like, are you sure? You really want to do this? Because, I mean, think about it. At that point, we had 10 kids on the autism spectrum, standing up in front of a group of people, singing. There were 100 million things that could have gone wrong with this. But as one of the parents told me after the show, she's like, it was the best 15 minutes of my life. And they did it. They were just absolutely amazing. They got up there. They were smiling. They all looked so cute in their outfits. And they sang their songs and took their bows. And some of them took their bows while they were singing their songs. But it was perfect. And it was really wonderful to be able to give some extraordinary children some ordinary opportunities. You know, the Schaefer Center for me has been a labor of love. And all I have to do is look at Hayden and see him playing with his friends, acting his age, and then have him talk to me and say, Mommy, you're so silly, and I love you, to know that this was all worthwhile. You know, we take so much for granted in life, but Hayden has taught me to really celebrate every single small accomplishment. So when he comes down in the morning and asks for popcorn for breakfast, I don't really think about the fact that it's probably not the healthiest thing to have first thing in the morning. I think about the fact that he's talking to me and that he's wanting to share an experience with me. And I don't take that for granted, because 2.5 years ago, I didn't know if that was going to be possible. So Hayden has changed my life, not just by having him, but by living with him, learning with him, and most importantly, just loving who he is. Thank you.
And in fact, the Schaefer Center is thriving. Like, it's a thriving educational institution. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, that's cool. Really cool. If you enjoyed these stories of moms getting educated by their kids, please check out Mother Love, Stories of Being a Mom, Caring for a Mom, and Loving Even the Unlovable Moms. That's going to be on Wednesday, May 8th. You can learn about it at our website, 7 p.m. So that'll have a Mother's Day stories of all kinds, not just the Hallmark kinds. Before we let you go, we want to thank Maureen Harvey, who produces the podcast.
Thank you, Maureen.
And visit stoopstorytelling.com. And we'll see you back soon with more stories from the Stoop.
Support comes from Catholic Charities. Driven by the message of love your neighbor, Catholic Charities is focused on improving lives in Maryland. Give the gift of love during this holiday season and learn more at cc-md.org/love.